Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every year, twice a year, we, in the liturgical calendar, we celebrate during the season of Advent and Lent. During Advent, we celebrate the third Sunday of Advent. It's called Gaudete Sunday, where you get to wear the rose vestments. And then on Laetare Sunday, which is the fourth Sunday of Lent, you celebrate again with the rose vestments. Every year, people ask me if this is a liturgical fashion statement or something like that. And of course, it has a meaning, it has a purpose. It symbolizes something very important within our faith. The season of Lent is a penitential season, right? It's a season of preparation, and it's a season to examine ourselves and to look at our own spiritual lives. That can be very intense, right? That can be very difficult, especially depending on the sacrifices and penances and almsgiving that we've been taking up during this season. And the Church, in her wisdom, recognizes that we need to, of course, focus in very intensely in that preparation, but we also always have to remember the end goal, right? The purpose of this preparation, the purpose of this mortification, is ultimately union with God, right? It's ultimately that we grow closer to Christ and to our Lord. And so she chooses throughout these seasons, these penitential seasons, times in which we have a little reprieve. We have a little break in the Lenten practices. When the liturgical colors were being developed, you had the violet color, which was a symbol of penance. It was the symbol of purification. And then you had the white or gold color, which was the symbol of glory, right? So when you mix those two together, what do you get? You get rose, right? So on Laetare Sunday, you celebrate the remembrance of what it is we are sacrificing for. And so it's appropriate on Laetare Sunday to take a reprieve from your Lenten practices, to help yourself remember what is being striven for, what is being sacrificed for in this great season. So I encourage you all this Sunday in particular to take advantage of that reprieve, and of course, always in mind that, you know, starting Monday, that we pick back up our Lenten practices and we fight the good fight all the way through to the Easter season, but that we're always keeping that focus on ultimately and finally, all of this is for the purpose. It all has a purpose, right? It all has a meaning, an end, which is to draw us closer to God. So reflecting on these Lenten realities, I'd like to look a little bit at the gospel we celebrated this evening. The gospel from John chapter 3. If you've never had a chance to read the third chapter of John's gospel, I'd encourage you to do so. It's a beautiful chapter. Probably one of the most famous verses, John 3:16, most famous verses of the Bible itself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? John 3:16, where our Lord is explaining to Nicodemus the relationship that he wants to have with his people, the relationship that he's trying to develop with his chosen ones. And so you remember the story of the first half of the third chapter of John's gospel. Nicodemus, it says, he comes to the Lord in the night, right? And he wants to learn more about who this man is. Because from Nicodemus's perspective, he even tells this to Christ, right? He says, no one could do the things that you're doing unless he was of God. No one could do these things unless it came from God. But Nicodemus also knew that no one in the Pharisees, no one in the hierarchy of the Jewish people accepted Christ. So he had to come to him at night. And Christ accepted this. And he began his instruction of Nicodemus. And what does he tell him? He says, unless one be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Of course, Nicodemus doesn't understand this. He says, how can this be? Does one have to re-enter his mother's womb and all of this? And of course, the Lord clarifies for him, and he's saying, no, this is a spiritual rebirth. And then the Lord draws attention to a very peculiar image in the Bible. He says, just as Moses raised the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be raised up in your sight. What an odd image the Lord provides Nicodemus. And think back to the book of Numbers, when the people had grumbled against the Lord again, and the Lord, out of his frustration, he sends the serpents, right? And the serpents punish the people. They bite, and many of the people die because of the serpents. And the Lord, Moses goes and he prays before the Lord and asks him to take away the serpents. The Lord says he's not going to take the serpents away. He wants Moses to build a bronze serpent mounted on a pole and put it up in the middle of the camp. And anyone who's been bitten by one of the serpents, if he looks upon the bronze serpent, he will not die. He will not perish. What an odd thing, right? I've always found that particular passage very striking. Why is it that the snake, that's typically the symbol of the devil, right? Why is that the symbol that the Lord is calling on his chosen people to look at to be healed? Why is it that the Lord doesn't just take the snakes away, right? Why is it that he's requiring them to look at almost like this image of their sinfulness, right? Because everything in the Old Testament is a prefigurement of everything that's going to take place in the New. Everything in the Old Testament is what in scripture study, you call it typology. It's a type of, it's an image of the fulfillment of God's relationship that's going to take place in Jesus Christ, right? And so when we look at this imagery that we have from the Old Testament, we're always using it as something that's propelling us forward. It's pointing us forward to the mystery of Christ. And what was Christ? He even says it to Nicodemus, the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up, and we must look upon him whom we have cursed. Because just like our Lord required Moses to raise up the image of the people's sinfulness, so in the same way, Christ, who is suffering for our sins in the way that I deserve, look at the image of Christ on the cross. We deserve that. We deserve that for our sins. And yet Christ bore that for us. So when we look upon that image, when we look upon that, we should recognize within ourselves what Christ has done for us. Very much a Lenten image. That's the whole purpose behind my penances and purifications. It's to be, have a clearer image of myself, have a clearer image of who I am before God. One of the beautiful things about the shrine that I currently serve at, the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help out in Champion, the message, it's a Marian apparition site. It's the only approved Marian apparition site in the United States. And the message to our Lady, to Adele Bryce, who was the young Belgian girl who received the apparition, very simple, it's very beautiful, very beautiful. One of my favorite parts about the message is that Our Lady tells Adele to teach the children in this country what they need to know for salvation, right? And she says to her, very, very simply, she says, teach them how to sign themselves with the sign of the cross. A beautiful image. How often is it every day we make the sign of the cross? How many times a day? And we have no recollection of what we are doing. We have no real intent on what we are proclaiming when we say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're proclaiming Christ crucified. We're proclaiming the fact that it was through his passion, death, and resurrection that I can find salvation, that I can not just make it into heaven, but that I can be sanctified, that I can be transformed, transfigured, if you will, into an image of God himself. Saint Irenaeus, God became man so that man might become God. The transforming power of God's grace. I can't hope to do that if I am not making that effort to transform my life by letting go of the things that I hold on to in this life. This is really the benefit of attending one of the parish missions, right? Because the whole point of it is about coming and doing that examination of oneself, making that reflection of oneself. One of the most important things that you could do during the mission is go to confession, right? There will be confessions available before and after each mission talk. There's no better way to celebrate the season of Lent than with a good confession. Wipe the slate clean. Make that good examination of conscience. You know, one of the questions that we get all of the time at the shrine, people who come and visit there, they ask, why is it that I have to go to confession to someone else, right? Why do I have to go to confession to a priest? Why do I have to go to confession to a man? Why can't I just go to confession directly to God? Why does it matter if I go to someone? That's a good question. There are actually a lot of responses to that. But I find the most important one to be the one from authority, right? This is the answer from authority, theologically speaking, from a perspective of God, the argument from authority is the strongest, right? But the argument from authority from a philosophical or human logic perspective, it's the weakest, right? And that's because it's not very satisfying. It doesn't really answer the question. But if we're looking at it from a spiritual perspective, of course it does, which is that because God said so, right? Ultimately and finally, why is it that I have to go to confession to someone? Because God said so, right? It's because that's how God set it up. Our Lord desired that he use mediators through which his message and his ministries are exercised. This is true all throughout the scriptures, right? You have the prophets, you have the teachers, you have God's messengers who come and give the message of our Lord. Thus says the Lord, you know, prophets. Everybody accepted that. Even in our own life, our own sacramental life, right? We didn't baptize ourselves. We didn't confirm ourselves. If you got married, you know, you didn't preside over your own wedding. You exchanged your marriage vows together, but someone had to preside over that. And yet in this one area, and all these other areas were fine with it, but in this one area, not. We don't like it. And let's be honest. Why is it that we don't like going to confession to someone else? Because it's embarrassing, right? It's hard. It's not exactly something that we enjoy doing. Hopefully someday a real joy can come from it the more we practice it. But it's very difficult. It's not something that we just do very easily. But that small act of humility, a small act of humbling ourselves, and God works incredible wonders and miracles in our lives. And why is it that I was far less ashamed to commit sin than I am to admit sin? Why is it that I'm so far less ashamed to commit sin than I am to go and confess that sin? I can tell you that a good confession, a good cleansing of one's soul it's not just a spiritual reset. It's a means in which we find healing, mental, emotional, spiritual healing that orients us towards God. One of the tomorrow night for the first night of the conferences, it'll be about obtaining and maintaining our peace. Obtaining and maintaining peace in our spiritual life and in this world. Learning to turn away from the things that I think are making me happy, but in reality are keeping me farther and farther from God. So during this Lenten season, let us always keep end goal in mind. Remember, that's what this whole Sunday is about, keeping the end goal in mind, which is ultimately union with God. And how can I best accomplish that? What's going to be the most fruitful example of that in my life? If you're not in the habit of making frequent confession, now is a wonderful time to begin. Hit that spiritual reset button, wipe the slate clean, and you begin again. Today we pray for the mercy of God, pray for his abundant love to guide and nourish our souls, so that come Easter, we will celebrate the resurrection of Christ with renewed vigor and renewed love in our risen Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.